Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. All that is needed to worship the Lord is an awareness of His presence. When you are aware of His presence, you cannot help but worship Him. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his third of four messages on this chapter.
The key to true worship is you and me getting intimate with the Lord, beholding His beauty. In fact, some of you had the most incredible time of worship before you even came into this building today. You open your Bible, you're alone with the Lord in that favorite place of yours. The tears are flowing down your cheek, and you are just lifting your heart and you're lifting your hands to the King of Glory. You know what I'm talking about. Then you jump in the shower and you start singing and you wake up everybody else in the house. I really believe that the more props a person or a church needs in order to worship the Lord is proof that that individual or that church has lost the sense of the presence of the Lord. The more props you need, the more gimmicks you need to worship the Lord. Let's dim the lights. Let's get moody. I really believe that the more props you need, that I need, or that we need, is an indication that we've lost the sense of the presence of the Lord. Nothing is needed. Thank God for the means that He gives us, but nothing is needed to worship the Lord other than an awareness of His presence. You could be on a beach. You could be on the assembly line. You could be at work. You could be doing the laundry. And as soon as you sense the presence of the Lord, you just begin worshiping, don't you? You just begin declaring His name, proclaiming His name. That's what these 24 elders are doing. That is what the redeemed are doing in heaven. If you want a little bit of heaven on earth, stop what you're doing and start worshiping the Lord. Thursday of last week was a one of those days in a pastor's life where it was like a month in one day. And it wasn't even noon yet. And so my wife had to run some errands, and I put on a live worship CD. Now, just me and this live worship CD. You know what I did? I just had myself a worship service. And I just began to just rejoice in the Lord and in His beauty and in His glory. And it's incredible. Nothing else changed. Because I'm worshiping the Lord. I go, hey, Lord, you got some real serious problems you got to deal with, don't you? Because this is your church, and these are your people, and these are your needs. And just worshiping Him. Lord, You are so good. You know, when you're at home, you tend to get a little bit more Pentecostal than when you're at church. And it is true that when you begin to worship the Lord, it does bring a slice of heaven on earth. I encourage you to do it. Because it gets your eyes off of things on earth and sets your affections on things above. And nothing is needed, really, to worship the Lord other than His presence. These 24 elders, we read also in this verse, verse 4, are clothed in white raiment, which are emblems of purity. It's interesting that the only two specific references to white raiment that are found in the book of Revelation are also within the context of the church, Revelation 3:5 and Revelation 3:18, which leads me to believe that these 24 elders are indeed the redeemed church. And they're wearing crowns of gold. They had on their head crowns of gold. There are two kinds of crowns mentioned in this book. There's the victor's crown. The Greek is Stephanos. And then there's the crown of the sovereign ruler, the diadem. What is the crown that is on the head of these 24 elders? It's the Stephanos. It refers to the laurel or the pine wreath that was placed on the victor's head in the Greek games. It's the same word that is so often used in the New Testament regarding reward for service. And the fact that these 24 elders have been crowned indicates that they had already been judged and rewarded. And that would fit in perfectly with the judgment seat of Christ. And again, we will see probably next week what these 24 elders do with these crowns. The subject of crowns is an interesting subject in the Scriptures. There are four crowns mentioned in Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, there is a reference to the crown of righteousness, and that is given for those who love His appearing. How many of you seriously are awaiting the appearing of Christ? How many of you this morning thought maybe today? One way that I know that I really believe that one way that you know that you really believe that. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 tells us that the person that lives in expectancy of the Lord's return is going to purify himself even as he is pure. In other words, that kind of man, that kind of woman, that kind of church is going to be living a life that becomes progressively more pure and more holy, but for the glory of God. So one way that you and I reveal that we really believe that Christ is coming is that there's going to be a purifying effect in our life. Why? For the glory of God. There's a lot of people that can do a lot of good things and they do it just to draw attention to themselves. But Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. For the Christian, the purpose of doing good works is that people may glorify in our God. Second crown is found in James chapter 1, verse 12, and it's the crown of life that is given to them that love him. And it's within the context of temptation, where James says, let no man say when he is tempted that he or she is tempted of God. And Jesus gives us this promise of a crown of life, because Jesus is the one who gives us life. And life is not in yielding to sin, but in submitting to him. And that's why every time when you and I are faced with temptations, and we will be tempted until we take off this earthly temple, we will be facing temptations until we get to glory, but every time you, by the grace of God, resist those temptations, there's a crown of life that is given to you. Why is it called the crown of life? Because the opposite is true. The wages of sin is death. Death in the scripture speaks of separation. It separates you from fellowship. It separates you from others. That's why it's so important that we maintain short accounts with the Lord. You have that ungodly thought, he knows it. Just repent of it. Confession means to agree with God. That horrible motive, those unkind words, Father, I'm sorry. And every time you and I, by the grace of God, are facing temptations, and we, by the Spirit of God, choose to do the things of the flesh, yielding our bodily members to the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. As we choose to do the things of the Spirit, there's a crown of life. Third crown is mentioned to anybody that serves in church leadership as an under-shepherd in any capacity. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, where it is called the crown of glory. The Lord says to those who love me and who serve my people, I will give to them a crown of glory that fades not away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter, writing as an elder, commends other elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. Notice Jesus or Peter says, feed the flock. He didn't say beat them, manipulate them, trick them, fool them. He didn't say bleed them. Take five offerings from them every Sunday. Feed them. Just what he heard from Jesus. He says, and when you feed the flock of God, because you love me, I'm going to give you a crown. Can you imagine elders, deacons, pastors, Jesus putting that crown on your head? You see, serving the Lord is such a joy. Such a joy. And he will give to those who serve him faithfully a crown of glory that fades not away. And then in Revelation chapter 2:10, there is another reference to a crown of life, but it is technically a martyr's crown. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we read about Smyrna, the church at Smyrna. And there were saints in Smyrna who were not only being persecuted, not only being imprisoned, some were paying the ultimate price of their faith in Christ. They were being martyred. One of the most incredible books to read as a Christian outside of the Bible is Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will just grip your heart like no other book. And today, right now, there are precious brothers and sisters who have refused to compromise to the world system or false gods who are right now being martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give them mercy at this hour. It has been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. More than likely, none of us will ever be called to make that ultimate sacrifice. But I do believe that there's a type of martyrdom that you and I are called to every day. Jesus on earth was doing signs and wonders and miracles, and great multitudes began to follow him. And then our precious Lord, turning to the multitudes, says these words. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, there's a seeker-friendly message for a crowd. What's a cross for? What was a cross for then? This stopped the multitudes in their tracks. And Jesus was basically saying, if you are really serious about coming after me, realize that it's going to cost you, not redemptively, but every day, you're going to have to die to yourself to live for me. Daily martyrdom. Isn't it amazing that when you study the harmony of the four Gospels, at this point in time, the vast majority of people said, oh, you mean I got to die to self? I thought you died for me so that I could just feed myself. And so there is the daily crown of martyrdom. And every day you and I are given an opportunity to die to self. One of the beautiful things about the scriptures is that, you know, in the book of Genesis, it says in the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, evening and the morning. Okay, daytime begins at night. A new day begins at night. So you know when God began to pour new mercies into you and into me? While you were sleeping. That's morning. And so you woke up this morning not to a UPS or a FedEx, Carl, package. You woke up and God already breathed into you mercies to face this day. That's incredible. Now my flesh doesn't like to be crucified. And neither does yours. My flesh likes to be pampered, pumped up. My flesh, everybody serve me. Come on. Go home from church. Dinner. Son. Daughter. Grandkids. Well, they don't believe that anyways. Every day we have an opportunity to die to self. And I believe that when you and I do it for the glory of God, that there's a crown there. You know, if you serve people, you'll get frustrated. If you serve yourself, it's vain. But when you and I determine to serve the Lord, it's amazing how that lightens the load, how that it makes such a difference, doesn't it? When you do what you do, when you do the laundry as unto the Lord, when you cook as unto the Lord, when you're doing yard work as unto the Lord, when you're doing things as unto the Lord, when you're sitting down with your wife or your children or your grandchildren as unto the Lord, it is so beautiful. And so every single day, you and I get the opportunity to lay our lives down for the Lord Jesus and others. And in that sense, those who die to self are the day-to-day martyrs. And yet, you know, there can be that the danger of just slipping into a mechanical rut. And yet, why are we here today? What's today all about? Listen, beloved, listen. This life is the only chance that you and I have to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to win these crowns. You don't know if you're going to have it tomorrow. Right now counts forever. Right now counts forever. And if these crowns were unimportant or had no value, they would not be written about in Scripture. And another thing that you and I notice as we study crowns in Scripture, there are no crowns in heaven for knowing, but for doing. Now, the Lord does command us to be doctrinally sound. And yet, listen carefully. It's not enough to know how to dot our doctrinal I's and to cross our doctrinal T's. There is no reward, no crowns in heaven for knowing, only for doing. I am absolutely convinced that if you were to take the highest professor of all of the theological schools in the world, and if there was such a thing as having a Bible quiz or a Bible debate, all of the theological geniuses of the world combined, and over here, the devil, and you were to have a theological debate about how to cross a T, dot a I, about correct information, I'd bank the little bit of money that I had on the guy with the red suit and the horns. Because Christ came to give us life. There is no life in dead, sterile theology. There are only crowns for doing. And there are so many people in this day and age that are eating off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when all the while you and I can be eating off the tree of the knowledge of life, the tree of life. Peter says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of what? Him who sits on the throne. That's the knowledge that we need. The knowledge of Him. The knowledge of the Lord. The Spirit of God is working in our lives to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Crowns. How do we get these crowns? Does God just hand them out to us? No, there's effort. There's effort. In closing, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. Beginning in verse 24. Now keep in mind that at the time that Paul wrote this epistle, there were games on earth, athletic competition that was known as the Isthmus Games. Very, very similar to the Olympic Games that are going on right now in Vancouver. In that context, Paul writes about crowns these words. Know ye not, verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. I guarantee you today, beloved, that whatever Olympic events are being held, I guarantee you that the person at the starting line or the person at the top of the hill isn't going there with any other hope but that of winning than winning the gold. They're not just saying, well, I'm glad I'm here. Que sera, sera. No, they get in that ice skating rink and they're going to run to win. Aren't they? They're not just going to show up. They've been training long, training hard to win. Paul says you and I are to run a race to win a crown. And he says in verse 25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. In the preparation for their games, they were very, very disciplined. Did you ever listen to the stories of some of these Olympians, how they lived their life prior to the games? They were very, very particular what they ate. They did particular training. They disciplined themselves. They were so hard on themselves. They just trained themselves to win that race. You know, I saw one of the guys, the Olympic skater, the speed skater, and he was like pulling like a little truck. What's he doing that for? Any of you guys going to do that today? No, because when he puts on the skates, he wants to be able to go real fast, right? I think he wants to win. They're disciplined. They go through rigorous discipline and training. Why? Because they have a goal in mind. They're going for the gold, aren't they? And Paul says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible. You know, I think of, it's emotional. When you see some of the reward ceremonies, and you see those three individuals, the gold and the silver and the bronze, and they put that gold on an individual, and they raise the flag of their nation, and they begin to play, you know, the national anthem. And some of them are just flooded with tears. Yeah, they've been crowned. Discipline has paid off. That's a corruptible crown. The Lord tells you and I to run a race, because one day the King of Glory is going to take a crown. Can you imagine that reward ceremony? No wonder we read in verse 9 and 10, don't look there. No wonder we're going to read what we read in verses 9 and 10. When he places the crown on our head, what we do with them. Paul says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, or one who runs at random without knowing his goal or how to reach it. Have you set yourself spiritual goals? It's been said that if you don't set any goals, you'll probably reach them. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere in the Lord. What's your goals? Well, just to survive. Well, that's okay. Paul says, I run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Do you see a conversation going on here between Paul's spirit and Paul's flesh? It's as if Paul told his flesh, don't go there, don't eat this, don't read this, don't watch this, don't listen to this, don't do that, Paul. You talk to yourself? Oh yeah, you do. You do. You're hanging up those curtains for your wife, and you think that you hit a stud, and all of a sudden, a stupid nail. You talk to yourself all the time. Spiritually, we need to be talking to ourselves. Don't do that. Don't go there. You know why? Because my flesh is attracted to everything that I've been redeemed from. And I better talk to myself. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He talks about spiritual discipline, whereby he subjects his appetites and passions to God's word. Notice why, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified. Ever see what happens then at some of those Olympians when they are disqualified? Do you ever see the despair, the weeping? Can you imagine as a Christian being disqualified? That's serious stuff, isn't it? But the Lord tells us, I want you to run your race today. I want you to run with patience the race that is set before you. I want you to run this race keeping your eyes on my Son Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You running today? You running to win? You running for the gold? Saints? Koinonia, are you? Run to win. Talk to yourself. Don't worry if anybody thinks you're crazy. By talking to yourself, you'll just dispel every one of their doubts. Don't worry. Paul says, the thing that I am afraid of is getting to a place where the message that I preach is contradicted by the way that I live. And how many people are turned off to Christ for that very reason? May God give us as a body the spirit of discipline, self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit to live our lives in such a way to bring our Master glory. But keep in mind that as we work our way through this prophetic book, let us never forget, no matter what book you and I are reading or studying, either individually or on our own, let us never forget that the objective of studying the Scriptures is not to become theological robots who are able to spit out Bible facts and information. The purpose of Bible study is that you and I would be Spirit-filled, self-denying, worshiping servants of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Anything other than that is wood, hay, stubble, a form of godliness with no power. May we do whatever we do today for the glory of God. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless His holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.